Welcome to Blind Abilities. I'm Jeff Thompson.
And I'm Pete Lane. Our guest today is Suman Kanuganti, co-founder and CEO of Aira. Good morning, Suman. How are you today?
Good, Pete. I'm Jeff. Nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you.
Suman, why don't you start us off by telling us what is Aira and how did it come about?
Absolutely. Aira is pretty much a technology service. So we connect blind persons with a network of remote trained certified human agents. I mention human because, you know, whenever I say agents, is it human or is it a computer? No, it's a human agent.
Aira offers a personalized service for blind and low vision people to help them gain greater mobility, independence, efficiency, and self-assurance. Although Ben is completely blind, he has confidently learned how to navigate the streets of San Diego with the use of his cane. Though Ben manages quite well, there are certain unexpected situations where he can get into trouble. Fortunately, he's wearing his Aira smart glasses. He simply activates the glasses with his finger and instantly, Chloe, his certified Aira agent, sees what he's about to confront and tells him how to proceed.
The way it works is we leverage the existing smart glass devices out there in the industry, such as Google Glass. And most of these glasses has a camera that is placed on the right-hand side of the glasses in front of the right ear. And the cool thing is, besides the camera, the Google Glass also has a set of sensors, you know, 9-axis sensor, namely magnetometer, accelerometer, and so forth. When the user puts on the smart glass device and when he connects to an agent, the camera stream that is from the first person point of view camera is streamed directly to our agent dashboard. And we are talking the real-time video stream of less than 500 milliseconds. You know, we optimize the video for low latency and for real-time, unlike in a Netflix type of a movie. Now, video is only one piece of the whole puzzle. We push lots of sensor information that is coming from the Google Glass onto our dashboard. For example, you know, I mentioned about magnetometer, which will help us identify which way the user is looking. We do have the GPS along with the top-down satellite view of the maps on the agent dashboard. So identifying things such as the crosswalks and gravel roads, paved roads, the trees, the grass, landscape, and so forth. Everything is available at the fingertips in the agent dashboard. You know, we have the bearing aspects of things. So the way I usually try to explain this is, you know, a person walking down the street, straight path is one thing. You know, it's the direction where the user is walking. And where the user is looking is another thing. So we intuitively provide that information as well on the dashboard. Now, beyond that, there is lots of power to the dashboard when it comes down to the integration, such as public transportation. You know, we pull information about the public transportation from Google and NextBus, and it is geared towards that particular user. You know, when you go to shopping, instead of trying to OCR the heck out of, let's say, canned soup, we grab the barcode and fetch the information from Amazon. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we can go on and on the examples, but the general concept is on the dashboard, it's a data augmentation of multiple different sources coming to one place to provide that efficient set of information as quickly as possible in the most effective manner.
Suman, I would imagine the communication skills and other skills of these agents has to be optimal. Can you talk a little bit about the agents?
There is huge emphasis on how our agents communicate with the blind persons, right? You know, there is one aspect of, you know, a blind person asks the sighted in a mall, hey, how do I get to the nearest bathroom? And the sighted only points and says, oh, it's over there, right? That's a classic example that my blind friends tell me all the time. You know, even still now, like, you know, now that I'm in this industry and working and has a lot of blind friends, even when I'm hanging out with like sighted people, whenever people say it's over there, it's like, can you make it a little bit more clear? Can you describe that, you know, how do I get there rather than just pointing at it? Anyway, so the agents are trained in a fashion where they understand the blind etiquette. They understand how to provide the information in an effective fashion to the blind. They also learn about orientation mobility techniques and the terms and the information that needed to be used to make it much more a streamlined interaction. The characteristics that we look for in an agent is being patient, calm, multitasking, friendly, ability to read maps.
Hi, Ben. This is Chloe. She has a mission control style dashboard where she can see what Ben is looking at, where he is located on Google Maps, and any potential obstructions in his pathway.
How can I help you? I'm meeting a friend of mine, Bob McCarthy, at La Hottis Restaurant for lunch, and my usual route is blocked. So could you help me get there on time?
Sure, Ben. But first, can you help me get situated so I can make sure you're in a safe spot? Can you look around so I can get a thorough view of your surroundings?
And even the communication. I always proud myself that I can never be a good agent because I have an accent. And it's a hit or a miss if anybody can understand me clearly or not at times.
Yeah.
But those are all the characteristics that we look for in our agents.
You mentioned multitasking, but computer skills seem like they would be high on that list as well. If they've got a dashboard with all of those components, all of those tools that they have to manage in real time simultaneously, that seems a pretty significant skill that they've got to possess as well.
Yeah, true. The only argument to that point would be, you know, the dashboard still has to be intuitive enough so that the information is not cumbersome that is coming onto the dashboard. You see what I'm trying to say? So the design aspect right. of how the information from the video, the information from the sensor, the maps, and all the context that is pulled automatically, how it's intelligent enough to present that information in a much more relevant context and relevant time. Simple, yeah, exactly. Simple is the right word. It's super important. And part of the reasons why agents sit next to our engineers and our users as well at the same time is to exactly hit that point that you mentioned about. You know, it does take good computer skills, and we don't want to be in a situation where computer skills become a critical component for right. being an agent. The critical component is communication mm-hmm. and information and being able to handle, you know, various different situations.
Will there be a way for the end user to do a rating on the human mm-hmm. agent?
Yeah, it's both ways. Very similar to like Uber. So user can rate the agent and agent can rate the user too.
Oh, cool.
And it's still in the learning process. What do I mean by agent rating the user? You know, it's about the mobility skills. It's about the etiquette. It's about the communication. One of the things I mentioned is we don't know what we don't know. And part of our Explorer program is to, you know, push the product and the service from where it is today, which is maybe around, you know, it will work in 95 to 99% of the cases, but it may still fail in that 1 to 5% of the cases. We would only know that with the data and with people actually using it. So that way the system gets to a point where it's 100% working in a much more effective manner. And we know what are the variables that we are dealing with, not only on the agent side, but also on the user side.
Would a human agent be able to like pull up a quick profile that may show a tendency of the end user?
Yeah, so every user has profile associated with them. And the profile is an adaptive profile. What do you mean by that? Not only it's coming from a set of questions that we ask the user ahead of the time, but also over the time we build personalized profile for that particular user.
200 feet and take a left on 4th Avenue. The restaurant is a few minutes away.
Thanks, Chloe.
Chloe clicks on the social tab on Ben's profile and can see that he loves seafood. The agent dashboard then pops up a Yelp menu of the Las Hadas Cafe.
From your profile, Ben, I see that you love seafood. Las Hadas' signature dish is enchilada del mar wrapped in a handmade crepe with broiled lobster and shrimp.
Sounds delicious.
Like this guy walks fast.
Yeah, and the preferences like clock face or degrees, right?
Right.
Do they use white cane or guide dog? Is there a preference on how much information? We always stumble upon this one. Oh, I need to know every individual details about what's around me and what's surrounding and what's in the clouds and if they're blue or not. And some users doesn't want to, you know about the cars that are being parked in the parking lot.
True.
Because it's in a parking lot. I don't want to know about them. I just want to know if anything that is in my pathway. And we are completely okay to that. And the reason is, you know, as part of a technology platform and, you know, technology company, the platform has to be adaptive to the user, not the other way around.
Since Chloe can now see exactly where Ben is by way of the video cameras in his smart glasses, she can help Ben orient himself on exactly what's going on around him.
You're actually pretty close. I think the fastest way to get there is by taking the MTS. You can jump on the train at the Little Italy station, which is on West Cedar Street, and take that to the convention center stop. So turn back around and walk towards Pacific Highway. And then I will be happy to give you some more information.
Okay, let's go for it.
Can you tell us a little bit about the name, Suman, and maybe a little bit about the backstory?
Aira, the name itself, it's Eye of the Ra. Ra is an Egyptian sun god whose symbolic eye, you know, represents helping lots of people. And AI stands for artificial intelligence. So it's a combination of a myth and the tech. So we came up with the name Aira. eye of the eye. You asked a little bit about the background. So 2 years ago, it was more or less an idea, you know, when the Google Glass Explorer program came out. I do have a blind friend. His name is Matt Brock. He lives in Denver, Colorado. So myself and my colleague, Yuja Chang, we were brainstorming. Hey, you know what? We have this little camera and the sensors, right? We can create a dashboard to literally see what's in the camera, and you know, it will be much more useful for blind persons and, you know, in providing some remote assistance. I myself do not know much about the blindness back then, but Matt Brock, we threw the idea at him, and he was like, yeah, sure, let's give it a shot, right? So we both flew to Denver, and then we had the glasses on, and we put the glasses on to the on Matt Brock. We created very, very dirty prototypes. I still laugh at it because I have like a, what do you call, like a journey of how our technology evolved from the day one to where we are today. Right.
The outtakes.
Yeah, right. It's always fun to look back and see, oh, look at that dashboard. So we started very simple. You know, I started describing what's in front of him. He was my mentor in my communication anyway. So I talked to him a lot on the phone. So I happened to describe things in front of him, and he's like, you know what, this seems to be fairly real time. Yeah, let me go outside and do some walking. And he did some walk to closest grocery shop with his white cane. And he was like, you know, the more I think about it, the more it's becoming actually a useful thing for me. It's an exciting technology, but if there is a service that could be made available, I think it could be helpful to a lot of blind persons in the world. So, you know, at the same time, I was doing my MBA. I was in the final quarter at Rady School of Management here in UCSD. So that gave me a chance to, you know, do some market research, understand what it means to be blind and the tools that are available in the blindness market. And I had to come up with a business plan around it because I was doing my MBA, only to realize that there is so much of opportunity and there is so much of potential in the industry and in the service like what we were thinking. So that was the roots of how it came into fruition. And Matt Brock, you know, put us in touch with few foundation fighting blindness folks here in San Diego. So we continued doing our experimentation while doing full-time, while doing my MBA. And, you know, at this event called Dining in the Dark, Foundation Fighting Blindness event, We happened to, you know, showcase our technology, only to realize the speaker of that event, his name is Larry Bock. He is legally blind. He got attention of us and he said, yeah, you know what? I would be interested in this technology. Let's chat. Only to realize at a later time that he is a serial entrepreneur. He's the co-founder of Illumina, Nanosys, and Life Sciences Caliper, and 37, I believe, other companies. And in aggregate market capital, he created around $70 billion. So he's a really successful entrepreneur. The initial investor, our executive chairman, as well as our user, happened to be Larry Bock. So that's how the idea and a business plan from a school actually came into reality, you know, in turning into a company, into a corporation. But I do have to mention that Larry Bock, while we were working on Aura like 12 months ago, was also diagnosed by pancreatic cancer. And I'm sad to actually say he passed away 3 weeks ago.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, yeah. He was an extraordinary gentleman. He really helped the company get off the ground. It's a loss for the company. Now we don't have it. We are going to make this thing successful, and we are going to honor Larry Bock and his vision that he had for Aira.
I understand you're not pursuing any crowdfunding, so your capital and your investors are intact. The corporation is viable even at this early stage?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We are backed by venture financing companies from the get-go, and that may be a little bit unique than the traditional sense or other assistive devices that I have seen in the blind industry. We are probably one of the few companies backed by well-known venture financing companies, Lux Capital, based off New York, as well as Silicon Valley, and Arch and Watch Ventures as well. We were again lucky, maybe is the right word, to get in touch with Larry Bock, and he trusted the platform, he trusted the team, and we grew so fast. He helped us with the financing as well. And, you know, we have a board that is very strong. We pull together user champions such as Eric Weinmayer, who is the blind guy climb Mount Everest, Christina Ha, she's the blind master chef, Michael Hinkson from UNFB, he's the 9/11 incident survivor early on in the company. So in the past 1 year, where we were pretty much in sort of the stealthy mode, doing lots of trials, building our product, here in Southern California, testing it out, talking to our advisors, working with the universities. We are definitely surrounded, I'm happy to mention, with champions, both in the technology as well as business, as well as within the blind industry. So, you know, all those aspects has to come together for a corporation and a service to work.
By the way, there's a signage on the train that is advertising Comic-Con, starting next weekend at the Convention Center.
That might be fun to go to.
You will take the green line to the Convention Center stop and get off. I can see that the green line is approaching. The entrance is about 6 feet from you at 2 o'clock.
What is your current staffing in terms of agents? Do you have full-time agents already on board?
We do have full-time agents right now on board. Our service, as we speak, is 7 to 7, 7 days a week in all U.S. time zones. We call it 7-7-7 program. Mm-hmm. So we have around 6 agents as we speak. We anticipate up to 15 agents by the end of this year and up to 50 next year. 200 users is what our target is right now.
Right.
We have done lots of trials in San Diego, even in LA area, and now also nationwide. We did around 2,000 different experiments, trials, and we had users trying it on a day-to-day basis as well. That's part of our trial process. The idea is, you know, for the initial registrations that we got for our Explorer program, we'll start to roll out in September very slowly. You know, we do put very high emphasis on the quality for the service itself. Mm-hmm. So I'm really focused, you know, very diligent on how we roll this thing out rather than going crazy and get something out there which, you know, works okay.
Of course, I think that's a wise approach, right?
Yeah, so we have around 6 agents, but it's only right now and it's changing as we speak. Plan to scale up to 15 agents by the end of this year.
Yeah, and you think that would be sufficient to support the approximately 200 users that you intend to roll out with in October?
Yeah, by the time we scale up to 200, I would anticipate 25 agents. We are looking at the ratio of 10 users to 1 as right now. But obviously, as the technology scales, as the training aspects get more mature, as the standardization of individual tasks and activity gets better, as you know, the user and the agent common language continues to develop, we anticipate more efficiencies that are going to be created in the system. And that's how our users to agent ratio will increase. And I can talk a little bit about where artificial intelligence and machine learning come into play.
Oh yeah, we definitely want to talk about artificial intelligence. Let me start off, Suman, with a question that a friend raised. Is there currently artificial intelligence being employed in the form of facial recognition software, or is that just something that you envision down the road in the future?
If you consider the next 3 to 6 months is the future, yes.
My goodness.
I mean, there is lots of AI and machine learning aspect in here. And the facial recognition is the simplest one, actually, because we have the power of internet, right? So what we do on the back end, on the dashboard and the platform, is we integrate into user's Facebook profile. Like, let's say user X would like to authorize Facebook with Ira. For the real-time dashboard information that is coming in, we match the faces with the Facebook friends available. So if somebody is in your Facebook friends already, and if you are meeting them at the restaurant, then the system will identify it.
The restaurant entrance is at 10 o'clock. I see Bob sitting outside at a table about 15 feet straight ahead.
Chloe is able to identify Bob because of his Facebook picture that appears on her dashboard.
Bob! How are you?
Good to see you.
Okay, thank you, Chloe. I can take it from here.
Anytime, Ben. I'm just one click away.
That's one probably simple example. Now, the other integrations you can think about is Uber. Right, so we have integrations into Uber where our agents can request Uber on users' behalf wherever they are, and also ensure they are getting into the right car, because we do have access to the information about who is the particular driver who is going to pick up our user. So it's all backend integration, and that's part of our Uber integration model. And once you get off at a particular building, we will also assist the user to get inside the building or to basically get to their hotel room, for example. And it's all seamless, because the backend work that we do is the user says, yeah, sure, I authorize Ira to use my profile. Uber gives us access to some of their internal information about, you know, the dispatch system and the drivers who that particular user is getting to. And that information is now pushed to our platform, our dashboard. So agents has it, right? It goes to the concept of the data augmentation. You know, you have the information at your fingertips. And, you know, we want to position in such a way that doesn't matter what information an individual user has to rely on, we will have it for you. So that's how we are pushing it.
I'm envisioning not only Facebook photos, but photos in the person's contacts. If I were to go to a business meeting, for example, and there were 10 or 12 mm-hmm. participants in the meeting, would the agent conceivably be able to identify all those participants if they were in my contacts?
That's interesting. We don't have that yet, but it's
that's
a good idea.
That's quite elaborate, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let me make a note on that one. See, now I get ideas doing podcasts as well. And I steal ideas and implement it.
It'd be really interesting. Is there any type of universal facial recognition database? Because if I walked into a restaurant or Disneyland or something and say, find me Mickey Mouse or find me a famous person or look for business people or something of that nature.
Yeah, sure. Let's extend our conversation into AI now, actually, to addressing that particular question. So we only talked about facial recognition as a point solution in the discussion that we had with the Facebook integration and Uber integration as another example. But there are lots of neural network systems that are available right now as we speak. Things like Microsoft Project Oxford, Google Cloud Vision, Clarify, your IBM Watsons, and so forth, right? And at Aira, we will not be building all the neural network technology itself because universities and companies have spent probably 10 to 15 years building up those databases, annotating all the objects, annotating all the images to get to a point where we actually have systems now that can, take a picture and then get you pretty much 90% of the things that exist in the picture, right? So going back to your facial recognition example, Jeff, so Microsoft Project Oxford does recognize the faces. Now, it all depends on what is our comparative database. So I want to say the short answer is yes, but there is no one leader as such. The way we are tackling this right now is based on the context, we will pull the appropriate cognitive engine. What the hell does it mean? You know, let's say if we are identifying the objects, right? Google Cloud Vision is, at least so far from our research, is good in identifying the objects. So for indoor stuff, we activate the corresponding engine using Google Cloud Vision. And when it comes down to faces and emotion recognition, facial recognition, Microsoft Project Oxford seems to be the winner, right? So we'll have integrations into Microsoft Project Oxford, and depending on the context of the meeting, we will use Oxford. And to your point, if it already identifies the business people or celebrities, etc., hey, we have that information already available.
Now, so collective use of all the technologies.
That is correct. So just to make it a little bit simple, if there is a technology that already exists that will solve one use case really, really well, we are not going to build it. We are just either going to integrate it or license it and put it in our platform, because I think there is no point in reinventing the wheel. But put the application to good use and leverage the technologies that exist to make information available that, at some point we can give back to the user automatically. That pushes to our AI training data sets that we create.
So we see that artificial intelligence is already at work in the form of facial recognition, and no doubt it will expand greatly in the future. How do you see this affecting Aira specifically?
If you think about it, right now, all the neural network systems existed are, after 10 to 15 years of research, now there is databases that can do some intelligent stuff. Now, Google, Microsoft, IBM, they are creating the platforms on top of, these algorithms, these giant, humongous amounts of data sets that are available. When these big guys are creating platforms, that is telling the market that it is ready now for our applications to actually use these platforms, right? And Aira sits on top of the platforms. We understand our consumers probably better than Google's and other folks, right? So we sit on top of these platforms. And what happens? We are going to get this context onto our dashboard real time. And in a perfect example, a user who is going from home to work will be connected to our AIRA agent first 3 to 4 times, but on the fifth time, he will be put on the autopilot mode, because by then, our agents are actually teaching what relevant information with all the combined information that is available on the dashboard is appropriate to that particular user at any given scenario. And that's how it's going to become more personalized. And that's how we are going to get more economies of scale over time, if that makes sense.
Does automatic pilot intimate that the computer will be interacting with the user, or will the agent still be speaking with the user?
So when it is in the autopilot mode, then the computer will be interacting, but the system is learned behavior.
Right.
It's like Facebook M. You know, if you use Facebook Messenger and trying to buy something, right, you don't know if the person behind it is a human or is a computer, because originally they attacked with using the humans to start, you know, using the chat system, and that is then learned by the machines. And our agents, now that we have that infrastructure, we have our agents, in the next few years, we are going to create sets of training data sets for standardizing every individual activity. You know, we are going to pick top activities and automate the heck out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it takes time too. You know, I don't anticipate this kind of craziness will be available in the next year, but it will probably be 2 years, 3 years down the road. And part of using humans and the agents will get us to a point where the system is even more intelligent to giving that relevant information based on the relevant context, based on the relevant location, in a much more effective manner. So that's what we are dealing with in here.
Kind of reminds me of a relationship. At first, you're in full contact all the time. Then after you've been married a few years, it's, yes, dear.
You know, it's autopilot.
It's autopilot.
Oh, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Right.
Well, it seems so logical, though, because humans are creatures of a habit. And so you're going to see tendencies. So after a while, you would think the autopilot would be the logical resource to use.
Yeah, and agents are not going to go away, right? I mean, the way we see it is agents are still going to, you know, pick up the complex work. At the end of the day, for AI to pick up everything that human does, it's going to take ages, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. The visionaries will probably say 1 year. My practical experience is, you know, 3 to 4 years down the road. And the more AI picks up some activities, there is more stuff that humans will have things to do. Like if home to work is the simplest example, hey, what about hiking, right? Now we would want to go hiking. We would want to go do something else. You know, there are new challenges that gets exposed. So there is more back-end work to do. There is more things for agents to do. It's an evolving thing. And I think it generally applicable to technology in general.
When you talk about hiking, there's Trevor Thomas. We interviewed him, and he's done the Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Coast Trail, just with the guide dog. So that'd be interesting to put one of these on him.
Yeah. Eric Weinmeier is big into hiking as well. He's our advisory board. We recently hooked him up with the glasses. You know, he's going to use it at the hiking, and he's going to use it at all the adventurous sports. So we're looking forward for it.
Yeah. We keep mentioning the glasses, the Google Glass. That is your current form factor. Do you envision creating or developing a totally new device?
Yes. It's a short answer. Right now we have Google Glass, and we started with that because it was readily available, and we proven the platform, we developed the agents, we developed the program. You know, there are so many aspects of application, right? But at the same time, right now we will be pushing out our explorers to few Google Glass, but ultimately we are working towards having a smart glasses that is much more geared towards this particular application. One example is we want to have bone conduction headphones built into the glasses. We want to have camera much more wider, such as fisheye cameras. Right, so that will give a greater angle for us. We want to have connectivity within the glasses so that the usability is much better. So we do have projects as we speak that we are working on, and the anticipation is likely mid next year we should be rolling out a new set of glasses. But the glasses are part of the subscription, so it's basically not owned by the user as such, but they get it part of the subscription and they get upgrades for free. I mean, we basically, whenever we have new glasses, we push it up.
Sure. The glasses currently are paired to a smartphone, am I correct?
That is correct.
Do you envision that changing?
Yes, that will be an independent closed device by itself, which is always on, always working. And if you think about the kind of the future that we talked about, it's working for you. It's like having a sighted person next to you, or even better, because now we have the power of internet also working
right
for the user. And that's how we are heading towards.
Suman, are there any current environments, locations, things like that, that have proven to be particularly difficult for your agents?
Yeah. It all comes down to the technology. You know, I mentioned about 1-5% failures, right? Think about the garage. You know, we don't have like any signal. So we rely on the local modes. Local modes as in, you know, we do our best to identify cars, elevators, the points of interest that somebody needs to know given that particular location. What else? Restrooms, right? Restrooms is a tricky scenario. You know, we don't want our agents to obviously assist a person going into the restroom and, you know, but taking bio breaks, etc. So those are the scenarios where our initial focus on automations come into play. We will try to pick up the best identification that is much more relevant to get to the user to either the safest location or to the point of interest. You know, if we are in the garage, we'll focus on highlighting or identifying the elevators and the walkways. If it is in the bathrooms, yeah, sure, bathrooms are an easy scenario because it's highly likely we still have connectivity. And we'll identify the sinks, we'll identify the toilets, we'll identify the bathroom doors and the napkins, holders and stuff like that.
Right.
Does it make sense?
Yes. Timeline. You are rolling out initially in the Explorer mode in October of this year, and then eventually by the end of 2017, you anticipate having approximately 2,000 users.
That is correct. Our Explorer program, we actually opened it up at the NFB, but right now only relying on the word of mouth because we have only 200 slots for the Explorer program. The reason to limit to 200 is there is still some work to be done. And we want those folks who are open to failures, who are excited about the service and the technology. You know, in our trials, we find that once they have the initial experience, even if it works in 95 to 99% of the cases, that's still valuable to a lot of folks. So right now, our registrations and explorers are the folks who are excited about this and be involved in the early stages of the company. Yes, they are still getting the service. They are still getting subscribed to a plan. It will be a much discounted price because the first 200 is about not making the business, but it's about making the product.
Building the product.
Yeah.
So what price do you anticipate those explorers can expect?
Yeah, so the explorers can expect anywhere from low tens to low hundreds. On the higher end, we are looking at around, and please don't quote me on the prices.
Right.
If they may change little, it may change. It may be around like $200 on a monthly basis on the higher end, where they will be connected to our certified and trained agents. On the lower end, it will be like low tens, maybe like $30 or $40. And in this case, the dashboard and the platform pretty much is given, and they will be connecting to their family and friends as an agent. Now, the caveat is family and friends as agents still has to go through our training and certification program.
21-day training, right.
Yeah, so that we can keep up the quality of
But they service. Will still have access to their dashboard?
Yes, they will have access to the dashboard.
Cool.
What do you expect or what have you experienced in the end user using the device and how much time do they usually use it for? I mean, they don't slap it on for hour long.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly what you said. So far from our testing, any session would last between 1 minute all the way till, even 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depending on the context and how the day is going for an individual user. So on average, around 5 to 10 minutes is what we anticipate, and they would likely be calling in a few times in a day. So on average, on a monthly basis, it would come to around 300 to 400 minutes of service time. That's our current anticipation on the usage.
Your pricing will be similar to a cellular plan where you would get the device as part of the deal, and their cost would vary based on the minutes and whether or not they use family and friends versus the paid professional agent.
That is correct. On the lower end, they will be using the mobile phones. On the higher end, they'll be using the smart glasses. The subscription plan will include the glasses on the higher end. As you said, very similar to your cellular network, the subscription plan will include a base model around 300 to 400 minutes. But if there is a heavy user, they could buy additional minutes in buckets, not on a per minute basis, but more like our cellular plans, where you spend like $5 or $10 to get some minutes added to the plan. We also roll over the minutes, like unused minutes. One thing for me is when it comes down to pricing and when it comes down to terms and etc., it has to be super simple. So rather than buying the glasses, and buying the plan and cancellation, refund, there's no contracts, no obligation, no nothing. It's a monthly service. If you don't like the service, there's no fee, cancellation fee. Somebody doesn't have to adhere to 12 months. You know what I mean? So it's a much more straightforward, sure, Silicon Valley style plan. If somebody likes it, they will continue to use it. That's the philosophy we use.
Did you say that the low end, perhaps the family and friend plan, would not have the glasses? They would use the phone?
That is correct.
How would the phone work mechanically?
The phone will use the camera. Now, we don't think that's the best scenario, but for simple tasks such as home related tasks, we have this powerful platform, and the users still want to use their family and friends to help them out. So it's a bridging platform,
right? Mm-hmm.
Between the users and any number of family and friends. And somebody did ask me, if I sign up as family and friends, can I take calls from other users? The answer for that one is, I don't know, but there is no reason why not. So we'll have to identify what are the gaps between the family friend agent training model and our current agents. How to identify that a particular user is a family and friend, so that way it's free for them versus a paying user.
Now, is there a disclaimer? I can't imagine Eric climbing a mountain using these and saying, is that a grip? And missing, is there a disclaimer for someone, you can use the advice, but this is,
yeah,
everything,
That's absolutely right. The classic things are, we are not replacing white cane, guide dog, nope, and there will be a waiver, obviously, and we are an information provider, so we don't make decisions for the user. The agents should not also give their opinions as well. So it gets like a tricky area. But the concept is, it doesn't matter if it is Siri or if it is a human. We are an information provider, but it's a much super rich platform, and it's much more friendly because you're talking to somebody who is much more skillful, which is human, right? Human has some rudimentary skills. And the world is still complex out there. Yeah, sure, we can identify the objects, but hey, so there is a liability waiver. We do have best practices on our agent side when we are helping assisting a user at the intersection. We will give every damn little bit piece of information about the intersection itself, like how many lanes do we have? Is there a crosswalk button to press? If there is a median, once you hit the other end, are you turning left? Or if there is a curve to, go on, like take a shortcut.
There are boxes 10 feet ahead of you on your left. You are approaching a really busy four-way intersection. Pacific Highway is four lanes wide with two-way traffic. The crosswalk signal box is on the right-hand side, about 2 feet from the intersection.
So we have street views, we have top-down satellite views, and we have standard mechanisms of describing that intersection from our agent. Oh yeah, and we can also give information if the light is green or walk signal, but we will never tell the user it is safe to cross the street,
right,
now, because it's up to his judgment and skills and mobility to use their sensory information combined with orientation and mobility skills that they got to proceed. Yeah, this is a touchy subject, and I'm still learning. But at the end of the day, the concept is we will provide the information that is useful for the user, but we will not be there to train mobility skills or the basic skills that are required by a blind user.
How does the user actually hear the agent speaking? Do they have a headphone earbud that comes off the glasses?
Yeah, it's usually a preference of the user itself. Some folks use the headphones, and some folks use, like the typical iPhone headphones, but mm-hmm, they keep one ear open. A lot of users do like to use the bone conduction, Bluetooth home bone conduction headphones, which works pretty good.
Now, are those driven by the glasses or by the phone?
By the phone.
Yeah.
Right now, the glasses are much more an IoT kind of a device. You have your camera modules, you have sensor modules. In the future, there could be a back camera, right? People ask me, hey, can you look behind me and tell me if somebody is coming here?
Right. cool.
Yeah, you'll be looking for Pokemons pretty soon.
There's another use case you haven't considered, right? Or have you? I'm looking for the rare Pokemon.
2 days ago, my blind engineer, Juan, is asking me, Suman, I have a crazy idea. Can I please try? He's like, don't even talk about it.
I can see agents and users being matched up, becoming familiar with each other and specializing in being matched up with themselves.
Yeah, there's one user who challenged me. Suman, why you should be paying the agents? Agents should be paying me. You know, I'm going to all these exotic places. They are going to see all.
They're living vicariously.
Yeah, so why am I paying them? Or why you are paying them? They should be paying you so that they get the experience.
Being a potential user, I like that.
No, but our agents love it. It's good. It's fun. It's not one of the sitting in the customer call centers and just taking and doing stuff. But, you know, you have different use cases. You have different people. You have different places. It's not, you see what I'm trying to say?
Yes. This morning I read your website, which, by the way, is aira.io. That's AIRA.io. Your advertisements for agents who want to get a job as an agent is really interesting.
Aira Agent. Aira is focused on developing transformative remote assistive technology and services that bring greater mobility, independence, and self-confidence to blind and visually impaired individuals by connecting them, in an Uber style, to a network of certified agents. Aira's high-tech approach uses a real-time interactive cloud-based dashboard built to create for the blind an augmented reality context with live data streams from cameras, GPS, and other sensor systems from wearable platforms such as Google Glass and Pivot Head. This allows Aira's remote agents to render live personalized assistance to users in a myriad of daily activities, ranging from navigating busy city streets and catching a bus to ordering meals from menus at restaurants and literally traveling the globe. As an Aira agent, you will assist blind and low vision users with daily activities such as navigating on the street or reading menus using a real-time interactive dashboard to process live streaming data. This will be a 20-hour/week to 40-hour/week contracting opportunity with flexible shifts to choose from and opportunity to convert to full-time employment based on the performance. Ideal Aira agent will possess the following skills: patient, calm, articulate and easy to understand, ability to multitask, attention to details, empathy but not sympathy, bullet, ability to keep confidential information and signs a non-disclosure agreement, perks, bullet, list start, $15 per hour pay, bullet, 20-hour/week to 40-hour/week contracting opportunity with flexible shifts to choose from and opportunity to convert to full-time employment based on the performance. Bullet. Every opinion counts. Shave the strategic direction of the company. Bullet. The rare opportunity to change the world, make an impact to our society, and be part of a fast-growing startup. Bullet. Not just another social app. We build tools that bring independence and self-assurance into the lives of the visually impaired. Bullet. Motivated and passionate co-workers in a fun office environment. Building upon a series of recent successes, Aira is highly optimistic about the future, including the completion of its multi-phase beta trials, hiring, training, and certifying a dedicated cadre of agents, and closing on a seed in Series A financing from leading venture capital firms Lux Capital, Arch Venture Partners, and Felicis Ventures. Aira is scheduled to officially launch in late 2016. Apply for this job. Link.
It really challenges them and motivates them to be wanting the job.
Yeah.
Well, they could visit Disneyland 3 times, 4 times a month.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, currently, your agents are in San Diego. Do you anticipate branching out elsewhere in the country and or the world?
Yes and yes. In fact, we are currently in the experimental stages. We have some remote agents as well in Ohio and Colorado, Denver. Ultimately, it will be not a crowdsource as in crowdsource volunteers as such, but once the agent is trained and certified, you know, they can use their computer, they can use their home Wi-Fi and be an agent. Very similar to Uber model, right? You have your car and you can work. You have your computer, you can work. And once you go through the training, there you go. It is not a limitation on where you are located. And that also helps us, you know, big time in our global expansion, right? Because now you are talking the technology and now you're talking the agents, and sky is the limit on how you plan to scale.
I see in the future that this could be possible, that you might have a human agent that specializes in, let's say, Disneyland, because they're familiar with it, they've mastered it, and they've done before with people, that's the go-to person.
Yes.
I know that, for instance, at Disney World in Orlando, having experience in the parks gives you an advantage in terms of travel. How do you get there? There are shortcuts. There's different ways of navigating that experience would certainly build.
Yeah, I agree. And we call them like preferred agents. And we're trying to figure out how the agent career progresses as well, because we don't want to make this a job. We want to make this a career. And, you know, as we crack the blind industry and go to other markets, you know, your specialized skills will play even a bigger role, you know, dementia or autism or other markets that we're trying to go after. And even like with the Disneyland, we haven't talked much about the business side of things, but there is a lot of work on that front too, in terms of creating new business paradigms and we have the concept of chargeback to the corporations, chargeback to the organization. So if a user who already is a IRA user, when he goes to Disneyland, he doesn't have to pay, but the Disneyland pays for it. So that's the chargeback mechanism, but it's not there yet, but it's not impossible. I think we are making good progress towards making that happen.
Wonderful. So our listeners are probably very anxious to become one of those 200 explorers to get on board for October. How would they do so?
It's aira.io/explorer. So aira.io/explorer. That should give information about what IRA Explorer is, and that will also ask for the name, number, etc. And we seek $99 commitment deposit. Uh-huh. Again, it's all, a refundable, no obligation deposit. And the concept is, you know, we are looking for serious explorers.
Sure.
That will obviously go to the individual account, whatever plan they choose.
Good.
Or not choose. Yeah. If interested, again, we are only relying on the word of mouth, right? So please go to aira.io/explorer.
Do you know how many currently have gone there and registered and given you the commitment?
Yeah, I think we hit around 100 so far.
So there are still spots available.
Yeah. We are trying not to do too much marketing.
I understand.
I think it's really great that you guys are taking the next year to build the machine, you know, not worry about the profits, but build the machine so you have something that people can use.
Exactly.
Jeffrey, any other questions from you?
This has been great. I'm looking forward to following up with you as more things develop.
Absolutely. And I usually encourage folks to follow us on Twitter or Facebook, because it's the best way to see what the heck is happening with the company. So, you know, I encourage you to do the same thing.
That's a good segue. IRA is on Twitter, and their handle is @AIRAIO.
That is correct.
And you're on Facebook and LinkedIn as well.
That is correct.
We've been speaking with Suman Kanuganti, co-founder and CEO of IRA. IRA is an absolutely fascinating device with infinite possibilities, and I'm sure everybody will be going to your website soon to register for the Explorer program. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thanks, guys. It was fun. It helps me explain my vision as well in a much more relaxed fashion. So this is good. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, you have a great day. Thanks so much.
Yep. Bye-bye.
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 Jeff and I want to thank Suman Kanuganti for his candor and his great detailed information on IRA. Special thanks to Andre Louis for his outstanding music. Check him out on Twitter @FreakyFwoof. For more podcasts with the blindness perspective, check us out on the web at www.blindabilities.com. We're on Twitter and on Facebook as well. If you haven't downloaded our new Blind Abilities app, check it out now. It's free in the App Store. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.
When we share
what we see through each other's eyes, we can begin to bridge the gap between the limited expectations and the realities
of blind abilities.